So I started 9 years ago when I was a journalism student at UniSA. Actually, before I was even pondering joining Radio Adelaide, I was thinking about joining WOW FM, our sister community radio station. And the exact day that I was sending out an email to WOW FM, I received an email in my uni inbox from Annie Hastwell, who's the producer for The Wire, the national current affairs program that goes out on the community radio network. And I took that as a sign. I thought, right, here is my chance. Wow. You know, may as well sign up and see how it goes. And I've been here ever since.
Wow. So was that, I guess, where you got your first mentorship and teaching, or were there perhaps some other mentors along the way for you?
Yeah, absolutely. The Wire was a very formative experience. Yeah. You know, starting out as a 19-year-old, very quiet, and kind of still working out my place in the world and my voice as well, especially as a young woman. And then having to negotiate not only learning about myself but learning about other people and the people that I was interviewing. So I didn't necessarily understand why I was doing what I was doing. I was still learning the rope. Even when Annie would say, Lisa, you know, chase this person, speak to this person on this particular subject, I didn't know which questions to ask. I didn't know why I was doing the interview. I knew I was really interested in radio. I'd always been interested in it, but it didn't quite click until maybe a few months in.
I guess one of the things I found interesting when we've been talking to people here at the station is how radio helped them find their voices and the kind of self-development and things they were doing through that. Was there a moment, or when did this happen to you? When did when did you realise that radio was powerful and it was something that you wanted to be involved in?
Yeah, I remember the exact moment. I was doing a story about the need for more remote area nurses going out into remote Aboriginal communities because there was a shortage of them. And I interviewed a woman who Annie knew. She recommended me to her, and I interviewed her and I set up the interview. And then just before we were due to do the interview, a few hours later, she called up and she said, oh, Lisa, I don't think I'm the person to speak to. You know, I think you want someone more professional. I mean, my experience, I don't really know what I'm talking about. I said, you know exactly what you're talking about. You're the expert. You've been out there. You've seen what it's like out on the land and what people are experiencing. I want to chat with you. I want your opinion. And then she's like, okay, great. And we did the interview. Turned out great. And then the week after, I got called into the production office by Catherine Zengra, who was also a producer at the time. And I thought I was in big trouble. She said, Lisa, come into the office. I need a chat with you. And I thought, oh, no, what have I done? And she said she received an email from that woman. She said that she thought I looked after her, that she felt like she was listened to. And I think it was that moment when I realised, right, I know what I'm doing now. You know, it's to listen, and that's all.
Is that a common experience where you're speaking with people who perhaps aren't used to having their voices heard and they feel nervous about, they don't feel like they're experts, they don't feel like, is that a common experience
in
small change?
It's so common, especially people with lived experience as well, because these are people whose voices have been marginalised for so long. You know, they might be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, they might be living on a low income, they may have poor mental health and well-being. And so when I speak to them and I'm asking them questions, sometimes they'll say, I don't know if I've said the right thing here. And I said, you've said exactly the right thing. I want to speak to you. I'm not here with an agenda. I'm just here to listen. And, you know, more than asking questions and getting a response out of someone, it's just letting them know that they can come away from that experience feeling like someone actually cares. And I think that's the thing that I always take in with me when I go into interviews, is actually first and foremost it's about making the person feel comfortable and like they're being listened to. It doesn't matter if the interview doesn't turn out as well as I was expecting, but as long as I treat with the person with integrity and respect, that's the thing that matters most to me.
Lisa, do you do most of your interviews live or pre-record a lot of them? How do you work that?
Yeah, I do quite a few pre-recorded interviews. Generally, the form and shape of the show goes that we have one live interview each week in studio, which is really lovely because my co-host, who also happens to be CEO at SACOS, Ross Womersley, joins me in studio. So he's been in the sector for quite a while, and a lot of the people we have in the studio, he's known for years. So it's really nice to see that rapport more between them and talk about issues that are beyond the surface level conversations that we hear in the mainstream media. So usually a live in studio interview and perhaps two or three pre-recorded ones. And that's where, if someone is shy, if someone is doubting themselves, that's where I can kind of take them under my wing, sit down with them in studio or, you know, at home or under a tree somewhere out in nature, and we can just chill out and talk.
Small Change is presented by SACOS, and you've just spoken a bit about Ross. Do you want to tell us how that relationship started with SACOS?
Yeah, well, from my understanding, you know, SACOS has had long relationship, long rapport with Radio Adelaide through interviews and that kind of thing. But it started with the previous host, Marnie Round. She did Radio Adelaide volunteering when she was a student, and then when she came back to work with SACOS as comms officer, she brought with her that experience, and they thought, hey, maybe this is an opportunity with this previously built rapport to put together a radio program. And at the time, Ross and Marnie saw it as an opportunity to not only profile issues in the sector but also give voice to the organisations who may not have a strong voice in the social services sector. You know, some organisations don't have websites, they don't have a connected landline. So it provided a means for them to be able to get information about their services out to the community.
Well, we've mentioned that you're really providing a space for voices we don't hear very often, to have a platform and to have their stories be told. You've been doing the show for a while. Is there some stories or things that you've produced on Small Change that stand out?
That's a really hard question, because I enjoy all the work I do with Small Change. I really love it, and it's such a, you know, I treat it with a lot of seriousness and importance. I don't take myself seriously, I take my work seriously. You know, I think it's important to have a good sense of humour when you're dealing with subjects like these.
Yeah.
But in terms of special interviews, I think one definitely would have to be Uncle Stevie Goldsmith when he won Male Elder of the Year for the NAIDOC Award.
Yeah.
That was the last conversation I had with him. And in fact, I was very nervous leading up to that interview because I'd known him for a while. I'd known him and Christine Brown for a while, his partner. And I thought, this really is a make or break interview. If I screw this up, then our friendship is out the window. But, you know, he was so generous with his time and so talkative and lovely as always. So that's an interview that I'll treasure. And also, I think, you know, sometimes the most simple interviews, the lived experience interviews where someone comes in and, you know what, they're not trained media professionals. They're not like Ross, who has lots of media talking experience.
Yeah.
They're very, you know, they're very candid and vulnerable, and I really appreciate those talks.